Mayor.
Well, it's good to be with you people here at Richlands again. And I feel that I'm among friends. And I was thinking this morning, there's one thing about it, when I come to the tabernacle, if I don't preach, I can't blame them. Because even though they might disagree with me, they wouldn't be disagreeable. They're that nice to me. So it's not your fault. Amen. And so it's good to be with you. I've enjoyed the preaching. It's been great, good. I think as you get older, you enjoy other preachers more than ever, because a lot of them were young preachers. When you were back, you know, younger, they were just starting out. Brother Randy was just a boy, I felt like. Whenever I first got acquainted with him, he started preaching. And so it's just, you just sit there and rejoice. And this morning, whenever Brother Ralph Cox came to the pulpit, I just couldn't hardly wait for him to get in the pulpit. I just felt like that he had something for us, and he did, and he blessed us and helped us. Amen. And then Brother Gallagher, my, that's good. I'm glad I'm not in any competition with him, because I'd come out bad. Amen. I really would. Praise God. But that was just great. I just feel like I will. I'm pretty sure I will. But, you know, a lot of times my church is probably like you all and a lot of other churches. We sometimes get so busy looking for the shout that we miss the moving of God. Right. Nothing wrong with shouting. I'm not putting the shouting down. But you know, I've come to church when folks didn't get in very good, and even if it wasn't me preaching, the preacher, you know, the folks didn't get behind him very good. But from the very beginning, from the song selection to the prayer requests to the testimonies to the special songs to the preaching, they are all just working just like that, just locked in. Now, that's what I call a Holy Ghost service. I don't know about you, but that's what I call a Holy Ghost service. When everything, without programming it, nobody knows what the other one's going to do. Amen. I've seen times when visiting preachers would come in and they just pick up and go. Well, but folks wasn't touched much because we didn't shout at night, you know. Well, we ought to appreciate the Holy Ghost feeding us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, my wife gets on to me because we go to the table. And I want to talk, especially if Ron and Mary Beth come in. I just want to talk, you know. She wants me to shut up and eat. That's what we're there for. Amen, you know. Praise God. And sometimes it's hard to shout and eat at the same time. It really is. All right, enough of that. And I know that you may not appreciate that, but you ought to watch for the moving of God in your services. I don't care if he's moving through tears or whatever. Watch how the Holy Ghost orders it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to see God move. You know, I just have to say something about Virginia. I'm glad to be back in these mountains. Such friendly mountains. Amen, Brother Randy. Amen. Such friendly mountains. Wonderful mountains. We, Brother Ronnie Barnett and Sister Joel, that's my nephew and his wife, they... He's driving me. This first time I've ever been chauffeured all the way to Virginia. I just sat there and relaxed and enjoyed it. Enjoyed every mile. Amen. And we got into eastern Tennessee there and started getting in the mountains. It started getting dark. And did you ever watch nighttime put the mountains to bed? There's nothing like it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I saw some of those mountains curled up as night pulled the covers over them. And they reminded me of Brother Mike Roberts' kids when they just, little chubby boys, and they just played till they wore themselves out, lived over here on Cedar Bluff. Amen. You know that hill where they'd ride down that hill in that plastic machine? Brother Mike tried it and plastered himself against the side of the house. But anyway, they just played till they wore plumb out, and they just, you know, they just curl up in little knots. Amen. You know what I mean? Just ball up, run in there and ball up. They wasn't ready to quit, but they had to quit. Amen. And some of those mountains are just like that. And other the mountains look like me, they just stretched out. Glad for the rest. Amen. Did you ever see the nighttime put the mountains to sleep? Amen. My, when they put them to bed, it's the most beautiful sight in the world, but they'll need more. Praise God. I just sat there. I didn't say nothing to nobody. But I thought about the old mama deer. She's coming out there somewhere out to take that last drink that night, you know. And them little old fawns coming after, you know. And amen. Still got the spots on them. And her just taking a few steps and watching very careful. And them trusting mama. Pretty soon they just get hungry and run up and go to nursing, just a wagging their tails, you know, just to, and they're just a flipping them, you know, and she's just standing there watching. They get her drink. The squirrels have already been there. They've already got their drink. They've gone to bed. The old bears gorging on the berries and the roots and the grubs and getting ready for winter. Amen. But then after they're all gone to bed, then God puts those mountains to sleep. My Lord. Amen. That ain't a thing for you to shout about, but I like it. Amen. Watch him pull the covers over. All right. Romans, the 10th chapter. Did it wear you out? Hope it didn't. I have to enjoy myself a little. I just can't pull all the time. Amen. Praise God. Romans 10 and 13. Brother Gallagher preached by and large to the ministry, didn't he? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to come down here. And I thought maybe just to hear what was being said. But since I'm here, I felt like maybe using this, if I did, and I'm going to. In Romans, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Four questions are asked. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Amen. "For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world." Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach this afternoon, or teach, or whatever you want to call it. I want to talk to you, anyway, about the importance of preaching the gospel. Amen. The importance. When you study the writings of Paul, and I haven't studied it very much, but when you study the writings of Paul, and you read that over in Peter where it says, for talking about our beloved brother Paul, how that he writes some things, you know, in the scriptures, hard to be understood, which they that are unstable and unlearned do rest to their own destruction. Amen. You can just read that and not think too much about it. But when you go to studying it, Paul put scriptures together you never thought about being put together. I was reading and studying over in Romans, the 9th chapter, and I come across such scripture where it said, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." I read that and I thought, my, I wonder where that's at. So I turned back and I found it in Isaiah. And you know what he done? He went to Isaiah 28 and he started there on Isaiah 28 and 16 and quoted part of it, and went over to Isaiah 8 and 14, took some out of the middle, and come back to Isaiah 28 and finished it up. Amen. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Could I just take the time to, you see, he said, here's what's written. "I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of fence. Behold, I lay in Zion," comes from 28 and 16. From the Bible, the stumbling stone and a rock of offense comes from 8 and 14. "And the whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed" goes back to 28 and 16 again. Can you imagine that kind of putting together the scriptures? You and I just, you see, amen, that's the reason why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy there, and he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. They were reaching into the Old Testament and pulling out scriptures that would pertain to the preaching of the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I looked at that and said, my. And you know, Paul, over in Isaiah 28:16, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not make haste. Some writers translate that, shall not be dismayed. But when Paul translated it, he said, shall not be ashamed. Amen. When I read to you in Romans, the 10th chapter and the 32nd verse, where it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's quoting from Joel 12:32. And 32 says, shall be delivered. And so it's the same thing. But what I'm using that is just to show you that when you dealt with God's theologian, Paul the apostle, you're dealing with a man that was anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he could just go back to that scripture, amen, and just pull things out, amen, and put it right together instantly, and it was just right. Hallelujah. I was talking to Sister Jo. She's a teacher, and she deals with, what is the name of those children, the special what? Artistic. Is that right? Children. And that's children that are just really brilliant in some field. They may not be able to take care of themselves. They may not be able to do a lot of things. But some of those children are so smart and so brilliant that you can just take a box of, she was telling me, a box of toothpicks and throw it down in the floor. And when those toothpicks hit the floor, that child will tell you how many toothpicks in that box. Just look at it. Amen. It's so brilliant they can do that. They never counted them, don't know anything about it. But when they see those toothpicks hit the floor, they know how many toothpicks are there. Well, that's the way Paul was through the Holy Ghost. When he got to writing, he knew just how to pull this over here and that over there and put it all together and say, now this is what God is saying to you fellows. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. And we must remember that he was writing to Jews. I think he was writing to Jews. By and large, here in the book of Romans, he was writing to Jews. And he was trying to show them that Christ was the Messiah. And then he was trying to show them how, and I can't go back through all that, but he goes back through all of that and he shows them how, amen, that not only was Christ the Messiah, but that the Lord, through the Scriptures, prophesied that the Gentiles would come in and the Gentiles would be saved. And you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with Romans 8 and 9 and 10 and 11, along in there, I don't know about you people down here, but up our way, we've got a lot of folks that they run into this predestination business, you know. Amen. And they come back to this predestination. They talk about in the ninth chapter, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, you know. And they go through all this and they tell me, amen, that, well, you see that predestined. You're either predestined to be saved, but you're predestined to be lost. Amen. And so I finally asked some of them, I said, well, tell me, one of their main men, he's talking to me one time, I said, tell me, where did Jacob ever serve Esau? Amen. Because it said the elder shall serve the younger. And I said, tell me. Well, he couldn't tell me. I said, you see, when you're dealing with predestination, you all talk about individuals. But when God deals with predestination, by and large, he's talking about the church. Amen. It was first the church in the wilderness. Amen. And then it is a Gentile bride. That's the reason why the Bible comes in Romans, the 8th chapter, and begins to tell us of the glorious liberty of the church. And then Paul begins to tell us of the glorious liberty that continues in that church. Amen. And then he also tells us how that God has got his eye on Israel. And I thought about when Brother Ralph Cox was preaching this morning, he said, you just might as well try to take a shotgun and shoot the moon down as to do away with all the Jews. Amen. He said, if you could do away with all the Jews, if you could kill every Jew, you could kill God himself. And that's right, because God has predestined, amen, the church to be victorious. He has predestined the Jew to come back in and acknowledge and honor the Messiah. Hallelujah. And so Paul is showing them, and he said he's taught them how that the Bible taught in the Old Testament. I haven't got time to go all that. How the just could be saved by simply believing. He told them that in the 4th chapter. And then in the 10th chapter, he says, now here's the word of faith that we preach.
and he preaches from Deuteronomy 10 and 11 and 14, when he starts telling them that the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm convinced. I don't know all about how the Jews did. I don't know all about how the rabbis did. I don't know how about the priests and everything. But I'm convinced, my friend, that the preaching of the gospel was a brand new thing. Hallelujah. It's true. Prophets went here and prophets went there and did what they were bidden of God. But never had you seen a group of men with such zealous fervor. Amen. Going here and there, preaching wherever they could get their foot in the door, wherever they could find a crowd along the river, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible tells us here, amen, Paul said, brethren, you have overlooked it. Amen. This has been prophesied in the scriptures, that there would be preachers. They would preach the gospel, and they would preach it, as Joel said in 2:32, to whosoever shall, I believe it shall, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, when you think about that, I looked at that. That's the reason why I said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, in whom they have not believed? Somebody has got to tell them. Somebody has got to send them. Amen. Somebody's got to be willing to go. Hallelujah. Praise God. They've got to hear it. Somebody's got to be willing to take it. And somebody's got to be willing to send it. I was sitting here looking at this building last night and this morning, and I thought to myself, I wonder how big a building you could build to hold holiness people. Amen. And they wouldn't fill it up. And I can't mean that. I just wonder, what kind of building could you build? You know, the only thing that will narrow us down, amen, is our scope and our vision to work for God. That's really right. I don't see anything else holding us down. Amen. At our youth camp this past year, amen, we got to the place we've grown as far as we can go. And I talked to Brother Frank and them, said, brethren, it looks like to me we need to level off. This is not our campground. We don't own it. We've just got a lease on it, 25-year lease. And you know, it sounds reasonable to me. Amen. I was ready to just say, all right, we're going to settle down right here. Amen. I hadn't hardly got through talking when Brother Frank got a letter in the mail. Somebody sent us $400 in on the camp. Amen. I hadn't got home good when he called me and said, we got a letter with $1,000 on the youth camp. Hallelujah. Amen. That made me want to go back, Brother Gallagher, pull my stakes down and say, all right, God, you supply the means. Amen. We'll supply the effort. Amen. And we'll just keep going for you and trusting God. Amen. To take care of us. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want you to know, my friend, amen, that this thing is worth promoting. Preachers is worth sending. Amen. People are worth encouraging to get out and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. How shall they call on him? Whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him? Whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And once again, Paul takes liberty with the scriptures when he says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them. He catches the meaning of the scriptures and not just the exact wording of the scriptures. Amen. I think that's what the King James did. Hallelujah. Myself, I'll just be honest with you. I think that's what it did. But whenever he said, how beautiful are the feet of them. If you want to read that Isaiah 52, you'll find it says, how beautiful is the feet of him. Amen. Did you ever notice that difference? In the book of Isaiah 52 and 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know then in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. You see, the Bible said, how beautiful upon the mountains. The Bible said, the people shall know my name, and that day they shall know that I'm speaking. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, what day is that day, I wonder? Where are you going to find that day? Amen. When people knows the name of God and knows that he's speaking to them. Hallelujah. The Bible said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Hallelujah. The watch watchmen, see there, Paul taught the meaning of it. The watchmen shall lift up their voice. Amen. The watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places. Amen. And the Bible said of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. What's that arm made bare for? Let me turn back. Amen. To Exodus 6 and 6 and pick up a little something right there. In Exodus 6 and the 6th verse. Amen. Just hold on. Don't get up on me yet. Exodus 6 and 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with an stretched out arm and with great judgment. I will redeem you. I will bring you out of bondage. Hallelujah. Praise God. What did Jesus come for? To set the captive free. Hallelujah. What are we preaching today? We're telling them the good news. You can be free. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then, amen, in the book of Isaiah, isn't it Isaiah 59 and 1, when it says the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Well, I'm reading from Isaiah 52, where the Bible said the Lord made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. It's a clear call to holiness for those that are going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You remember Paul is talking about the preacher, and he said, "How is it written, how beautiful are the feet, not because of the structure, not because of the confirmation, but because of what they're carrying." Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if they're buck-toothed or not. If they've got the gospel, they've got beautiful feet because of what they're carrying. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me read on a little more. It said, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the Lord God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visions were so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." We know that's talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that's talking about Jesus Christ. What are you trying to say, Brother Charles? I'm trying to say that Paul was just saturating his words with thus saith the Lord to show them that it is a prophecy of God that there would be men, amen, that would go out. As it's written in the book of Hebrews, no man taketh his calling upon himself, but it's God that does the calling. But when God calls, he sends them out. He makes one stipulation. He doesn't call for their degrees. He doesn't call for their background. He doesn't call for their status in life. He calls for a cleanness of heart and spirit and life. Hallelujah. Amen. If that's met, my friend, God's willing to work with them. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, somebody said, I'll tell you what. Amen. I don't understand it. I do. Amen. I understand it. It's foolish to the world, but it's the wisdom of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Hallelujah. You see, singing can minister to all. Amen. There's certain things that's entertainment. It'll fly and draw people. That's the reason why if you have singing, you'll draw a lot of people. That's entertaining. But preaching is foolish to them. It's foolishness to the learned Greeks. It was a stumbling block to the educated Jew. But to we that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm talking about the importance, amen, of preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The importance of ministering and the importance of backing that ministry, the importance of helping that ministry. Oh, let's not fall under the burden. Let's not cry, we've got too many. I'm just like the rest of you pastors. There's some that I have to turn down. But you know what we need to be praying? God, give me more means to back more. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Keep getting them out. One of these days they'll find their niche in life. One of these days they'll find their station in life. One of these days they'll make a place. The Bible said their ministry will make room for them. I believe that. But it's important that the church feels the burden of keeping the gospel going. Hallelujah. I'm doing my best to preach to you. Doing my very best. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know what I like? It tells us here that we might as well understand. Not everybody's going to hear. Paul said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For the Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Jesus, come right on down through that chapter. The Bible said in the 15th verse, the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. What a gospel. That would open such minds like that. Hallelujah. That which they have not been told, they shall see. That which they had not heard, shall they consider. And then this question is asked, who hath believed our report? That tells me that it's the preacher of the gospel that's declaring the name of God. Amen. And revealing the will of God to people. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Remember that the Bible tells us that it was the arm of God that brought redemption. It brought salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord will make bare His holy arm. I read it to you. Amen. My friend, I want to tell you something. You that preach the gospel, you don't go in your own strength. You don't go in your own intelligence. You know, go knowing there's a God in heaven that will work with you and help you and guide you and direct you and prepare hearts for you sometimes before you even get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible said that I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. Amen. Paul's quoting again from the Bible, and he quotes from the Revelation chapter of Psalms 19. Hallelujah. It's where God is revealing Himself to people. And He tells us there's two ways that He reveals Himself. In Psalms 19, 1 through 6. I know I'm taking a lot of time reading these scriptures, but I want to read them to you. You young preachers, I want to get it down in your hearts. Amen. To know that you're not going in your own strength. When you preach and fall flat on your face, you may have done a work that you've never realized you've done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother L.D. Moore, if I could call his name, he'd know the old preacher that was so long-winded. He'd come back from the army, his wife had forsaken him. And he walked the streets and preached on the streets and preached in the jails. And I'm not talking about D.C., but I'm talking about another. And amen, he was so long-winded, nobody wanted to hear him preach. They wouldn't put him up in the camp meetings. But he went down in Texas one time, and there was a man of God that had built four or five churches, and he was sick and dying. He'd been to the great prayer warriors of his days. He'd been to Branham and A.A. Allen's and Oral Roberts and Jack Cole and all of them, and come back and still was sick, dying with a running abscess, dying. And that old man come by because this great preacher had befriended that old streetwalker of a preacher. I'm not talking about a streetwalker in a bad sense. Amen. I'm talking about the man that the people shut down at the camp meetings. I'm talking about the man that walked the streets because he had not very many friends. And he come by to see that old man. And he went in there where that daughter was. And that daughter took him in to see her daddy. And daddy was sick and had prayer, but nothing happened. Went back outside and daddy got the hurting so bad. He said, pray! I've got to have help. Pray! That old fellow come in and he emptied his heart out for God. He laid down on the floor and with the blubber and crying. He said, God, I'm not worth anything. I don't have no family. Amen. People don't like to hear me preach. I can't preach like others. And I just wear people out. God, I've never done anything. Amen. But if you can do anything for this man, he's built churches. He's established congregation. I'm not worth anything, God. And if you got to have somebody in heaven, he said, take me. You know what God did when that old heart emptied out? God just answered everything that old man had prayed for except taking him to heaven. He just healed that other preacher. Hallelujah. And that man went on and built another church. Let me ask you. I'm persuaded when he gets to heaven, Paul told the group he is preaching to, you're our joy in that day. That old man slipped into heaven, probably just slipped in. Said, oh my, I'm glad to be here, but I feel so lonely. Amen. Even in heaven, I've never done anything for God. And then there's a group comes out laughing and crying and puts their arms around him. And he says, who are you? Why, we're a part of your crown. We're part of those that you won. Why, I don't remember winning you. Don't you remember praying for Brother So-and-so down there in that room in Texas? We got saved after he got healed, and God gave us to you. Hallelujah. Brother, we're yours. Hallelujah. Oh, and the day of rejoicing. I can see that old man shouting around the throne of glory right now and saying, thank God for the preaching of the gospel, for it's not in vain. Hallelujah. It's not in vain. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something, my friend. If God called you to preach, God knew you could do it. Hallelujah. Don't you never doubt it. If you called yourself to preach, me and God both probably doubting if you can do it. Hallelujah. But if God called you, you can do it. Amen. Paul wrote one time, and he said, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath enabled me, who counted me faithful by putting me in the ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, God knew I could do it before he ever called me. Amen. God don't know. Amen. Don't know. What you say, God don't know whether I can make it. Yes, he knows. If he hadn't knew you could make it, he would have. You may backslide. You may go back on God. But God knew your capabilities from the first time he touched you with the Holy Ghost anointing. Hallelujah. I never did get Psalm 19. Listen to this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day out of speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our forefathers, amen, walked out on the hillside, turned their face up toward the heavens, looked at the beauty of the sun coming over, and worshiped the best they knew how, because the creation of God was declaring his handiwork. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that saved them, but the Bible said there's no place where their voice isn't heard. I want you to know that. The Bible talks about that sun. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words in the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Hallelujah. Praise God. Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and it's circling on the ends of the earth. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Look down there in South America at that huge line and mounds they've made. And it's a serpent coil. What are they doing down there? Amen. It's something about the constellations. They've caught something from the heavens. And they said, somewhere there's a God up there. Amen. Look at the mounds up around Cahokia, Illinois. Amen. What are they doing there? It's because they observed the creative power of God and said, there's something behind that. Look over in England and Ireland, where them people in the worst type of religion imagined. Amen. Burned human sacrifices and everything, but in the face of it all, they walked out and raised huge stones and set those stones in order and said, there's a creator somewhere. Paul said, if you go preaching the gospel, you don't have to worry about it. Yet in the face of atheism and agnosticism and all other isms, God's going to reach down and reveal himself to some people through his creative power. Show you something. I'm not showing you anything, but let's just enjoy something together. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, Paul's doing the preaching here. They've just had a great move of God. Man's been healed, and they've decided that Paul and Barnabas are gods, and they're going out to worship them. The Bible said the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gate, going to done sacrifice with the people, going to worship Paul and Barnabas. Listen to what Paul said. When the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea. He turned to the creation. He said, now look, I know you don't know anything about the word of God, but look at the creation. Look at the enduring acts of God. Don't look at us. We're dying just like the rest of you. But look at the enduring acts of God. Said he made all the heaven, the earth, and sea, and all the things that there are in. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, even when they were walking in their own ways, he said, he left him not himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. No wonder Paul said in the book of Romans, there's sound throughout all the world and throughout all the earth. Amen. He said when he preached to that bunch of heathens, he appealed to them for one way was through the fact that the Creator was the one that could recreate, the one that first laid his hands on the darkness of this world and made light to blaze and flow through. That same one could reach out and touch a sick man and heal him and make him well. Hallelujah. Paul appealed to that. He stood on Mars Hill in the dark of the night, and he said, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Him therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you. How did he declare it? He said, God that made the world and all things, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple earth. He went back to the fact that there was a creative power that would reach out and touch men's hearts. I was talking to a boy one time. I think I've told this before, but he's from Idaho. And he found out I was a preacher. And he was a friend or maybe a distant relative of my wife, folks. I don't remember. Anyway, it's been a few years back. And he said something to me. And I said, well, do you believe in God? He said, I didn't used to. But he said, I got a job on the farm. And he just started seeing those animals have calves and see how they knew just where to go to get nourishment. And he said, I decided there's a God. Hallelujah. Thank God.
And then there's one other way that God appeals to man and reveals himself. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right to rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired they are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand the errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. God reveals himself through the creative power of God, and God reveals himself through the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Brother Ralph, I think, used that. I don't know. Yes, he did. Amen. I want you to know this morning, preacher friends, my dear preacher brethren, you younger preachers, amen. Some of you got to go to Bible school. That's great. Amen. Some of you didn't go to Bible school, but God can use you just the same. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're not going in your own strength. Amen. There's no way you and I can argue our way into this, but if we'll preach the Word, if we'll preach the Word, if we'll preach the Word, God will go with us. The Bible said, confirming the Word. Hallelujah. You can depend on God. Somebody will get saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Brother, I was thinking about how God revealed himself there. My, how I testified at church Sunday morning. Let me tell you how come I'm here. I better tell that because I don't, if I cut everything else off. I wanted to come, but my car was in the garage. So I put in plenty early. I told people, I said, if anybody asks us anything, I said, just tell them that I've got a Lincoln that's home in the garage. Amen. And I just come from my nephew. I said, that'll sound good, you know. That sounds good. Amen. Don't tell them that it's a garage down on dirt road and they're trying to fix it. Amen. Just tell them you're home in the garage. Amen. Be like that preacher come to Buster's years ago and said he wanted to come for that hitchhike, and Buster got all tore up and got up and took him offering, and he had a new car home in the garage, but it's in his garage that time. But anyway, praise God. Praise God. But anyway, amen, I thought, well, surely it'll get fixed, and it didn't. Finally Saturday night, Roger called me and said, Charles, I've got it all together and there's something wrong. There's a bent push rod. The timing chain that went out on it. And so he said, I said, well, you'll just have to fix it. So I decided, must not be the will of the Lord's will to come. I told Brother Mike, I said, must not be, and I was talking to him on the phone, must not be the Lord's will to come. Sunday morning come. And I got up and I got to preaching kind of along this line. I'd been teaching and I'd been preaching. I got to feeling good about the gospel and the preachers. And I remembered how that the Lord called me when I was just a boy to be a preacher, just a young man, 20 years old. Not a boy, but a young man. Even I remembered how that had come our time. Three old women in the church, and my wife and I, we'd take turns on Thursday night. You talk about anointed services. I'll tell you, we're so spoiled. Amen. We got to have it high every time, or we'll just miss a service or two. Give the folks a chance to rest up. Back then, you just go. Amen. On Thursday night, when I'm a woman, we always like Grandma Lassiter because she could quote the Bible and she quote a chapter. But you just read a chapter and make some comment or sit down. Well, I hadn't been saved till the Holy Ghost very long. Amen. It's my time, and I went down to the barn and went to prayer. Come to the house and Mary said, what are you going to read tonight? And I said, well, I'm going to read this right here. Got my Bible out and I handed it to her. She read it, said, I don't get nothing out of it. I said, I don't either. Amen, but I'm going to read it. I said, that's what the Lord said. I felt like the Lord told me to read that. And I got up that night, and just before church, I looked down, there's about four verses. Brother L.D. stood out to me. They started talking to me. And I said, well, I was going to read this whole chapter, but I believe I'll just read these few verses. Amen. I had no inkling. And when I was a little boy, I felt like God would call me to preach. I felt like God was calling me. But after I got saved, God has a way of blinding you things. Never thought about preaching after I got saved. Never even dreamed about it. I got up there, and I started to explain those four verses, and that holy anointing came down. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I started preaching. I may not preach 5 minutes, but brother, I preach. As far as I'm concerned, I never preached better in my life. Hallelujah. Thank God I got through. I went home, and by that time the devil got to talking to me and said, folks, thank you called to preach. If you can't, God already give me another scripture. And for months possible years. I didn't know the Bible, so God, I'd pray and he'd say chapter and verse. And he never one time gave me a verse that wasn't in the chapter. Hallelujah. And he never one time gave me a chapter that wasn't in the book. And I'd just go read it and preach on it. Hallelujah. Come to church that night. Amen. Left my Bible out and pick up. I had a borrowed pickup. And we got in church. Nobody couldn't sing. Nobody couldn't pray. There's a preacher there. He didn't feel like preaching. And finally, I had to just get up and walk out and give him a Bible. And from then on out, I've been carrying that old book. A lot of times, folks wonder why that I carry the book. But when I walked out that door, I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll carry my sword. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the importance of preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. I want you to know, amen, God didn't look down at my pedigree. He just looked down and said, he can do it if he will. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been saved just a little while before that. Amen. And I left out and backslid. Went off out in Kansas. Amen. Praise God. I talked to Brother Ralph Cox, and I know Brother LD knows what it's like. Been over there that well with those rod wrenches in your hand. Amen. Feel that black oil coming down over you. The hot sun burning. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's a casting and a smoking and a drinking. Hallelujah. Just tearing hold. And God looking right down and said, there's a preacher there. Amen. Before this time next year, he'll be preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Look down at Fairfield, Illinois. Saw a little old poor blonde Dutch boy with Cherokee blood. And said, there's a preacher there. Hallelujah. There's a preacher there. There's a preacher there. Amen. There's a preacher there. Amen. All the world. If they'd have went out to pick preachers, they'd have taught the rich kids. Folks should have afforded to go to Bible college. Amen. But God was just picking them out and using them. Hallelujah. So, I almost did tell my story, and I've got to tell it. I'm going to cut some things out here because I won't get through. I got up, and I got on that, and I got to sing. I don't know if I sung first or preached. I felt so good, I don't even know what I done first. I think I sung first. Did it, Ronnie? Did I? Got a guitar. And that morning, I'd already told my daughter wouldn't come, told her, and I told her we couldn't come. And that morning, I had a telephone call. Sister Brenda called. Said, Brother LD, won't you talk to Brother Charles? So he got on the phone. He said, Brother, said, you ought to come down here. He said, I was up. I don't know where he was, you know. I asked him, I was up meditating, you know, like we preachers do, and just trying to get the mind of the Lord. Some of the fellows wanted me to come by. And said, I just talked to the Lord about it. He said, thought I was passing by a bundle of clothes at the stairway. And said, it just all bundled up there. And said, all of a sudden moved like scared me down. Said, it's your daughter. And said, she's praying for dad and mom to come to the camp meeting. Amen. Now, after I hung up, I got thinking, now, she didn't tell him that. I know better now, unless she asked her. Amen. But anyway, so he just talked to me about coming, but he didn't tell me, you know, the will of the Lord. But like when he hung up, he told Mary Beth later, before that, rather, when he talked to her, he said, hey, said, I wanted to talk to him. Said, it's the will of God for him to come. Amen. That's what I said, will of God for him to come. So I just got up that morning, and I still had decided it was just all over with. Ronnie wasn't coming. They decided they couldn't come, and he had to drive a bus Monday and Tuesday, a bunch of farmers coming in there, look over the farms around there, and he had to be the bus driver, and not many people has a CDL license, so he had to be a bus driver. Amen. And I got up and got that guitar, and you've heard L.D. Moore saying, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon me. Hallelujah. You've heard him say that? Well, the Spirit of L.D. Moore came upon me. As sure as I'm standing here. As sure as I'm standing here. Amen. I started singing, and I sang and preaching by the roadside under a tree. And all of a sudden, I hit kind of a high note, and I said, that sounds like LD. Ronnie was playing the bass, and he got so tickled, he leaned over, and he told me after, he said, you sound so much like LD, and even playing your guitar like him. Amen. Till I couldn't play. So I got so tickled, I couldn't do anything. Amen. There I was. And I couldn't do it today if you made me. But you see, the power of God came. You see, here's the thing about it. Amen. That made me know one thing. Just because Moses had a spirit that 70 elders could use, and John the Baptist got Elijah's spirit, when LD's laid in the grave, there's a great possibility that God will reach down and touch some young preacher and lay that spirit on him, and the ministry will go on. You hear me? I'm talking to you about the importance of preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And so I just got all excited, and I said, oh, I'm wanting to go to Richland so bad. I turned around and I said, Ronnie, let's get ready and go. Hallelujah. Amen. Before night was over, his boss told him, said, we can do it without you. Just go ahead and go. Hallelujah. Thank God, and that's the reason I'm here. I'm telling you something. This thing isn't in ourselves. If God could anoint me with the spirit of L.D. Moore, I'm saying he can do anything. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'll never have it happen again. But it'd be one of the cherished moments of my life. Hallelujah. I actually sung like L.D. Moore. Brother, can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Well, that's better than say I sang like Johnny Cash or somebody like that. Hallelujah. Woo! To think I felt that spirit. I even danced a little jig playing the guitar. Hallelujah. Got her down. I planned it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we could have been there together, we'd have been twins. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm talking about the importance of preaching the gospel. Paul said, amen, how beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because it's something God has to have. Amen. And God ordained. And God's going to keep it going. Amen. My friend, the gospel's got to be preached. The reason why Paul saw light and didn't get no witness of what to do any more than go to the street called straight was because God had a cadre of men that was anointed. It was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they set forth to preach the gospel, and he honored mankind by being allowed to show Paul the way. Hallelujah. I'm convinced the reason why John the Baptist did no miracles was because God was instituting a preaching ministry that was more important than anything else, declaring the word of God. Hallelujah. You remember everybody, by that time the Jews had become so educated, everybody had to prove themselves, and they said to Jesus, what signs show us now that we may believe? It wasn't enough to heal the sick, do good. You got to call something down from heaven. Amen. Right. Praise God. But Jesus told them. He said, that rich man in hell said, go back and have somebody raise from that. He said, no, the important thing is preaching the gospel.
Preaching.
If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, that's the gospel.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. And I'll tell you something else, friend. There is a reward for preaching this gospel.
Yes.
There is a reward. Did you ever notice in Romans where it said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for his power of God and salvation? If you look at there, up there just above there, there's again so where it talks about preaching the gospel. And those words are two different words. One means to proclaim the good news. But when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the original meaning was that a reward for the good news. Hallelujah. A reward for the good news. For it is the power of God and salvation. Paul said, the reward is seeing people saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Seeing it work in people's lives. Sanctifying them and cleansing them up. Hallelujah. Thank God. You just think about that. Praise God. Let me say something else. There is not only a reward. There is a certain courtesy and fear we should have toward one another that carries the gospel.
Praise God.
Now I'm going over 5 minutes more, Brother Ralph, I'm sorry, or whoever's in charge. But back before I took the church, which would be about 12 years ago, there was a man who had died, and his church was left vacant. And the wife of this man had called me and or sent word to me that she wanted me to come preach a weekend. There was a man, this man had one deacon, and that deacon had pretty well taken over the church. He ridiculed what preachers came by. He tore down what they said. He's making it very difficult. I didn't know that when I agreed to come. He was in charge of the service. She could ask if he was in charge. All right, so I found that out, and I'm telling you, I was upset I couldn't sleep. And I prayed. I said, God, you got to help me. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't slept a wink. And I said, God, you got to put me to sleep. I can't stand this. And I about decided not to go by there. Because, first of all, that man one time had failed. I don't know how bad he failed. He admitted to kissing on this woman. And we'll just take his word as far as he went. But that's too far, huh? Huh? That's too far. You agree with me? That's too far. And I'd always just put him in the back of my mind and kind of just wrote him off for that. I never gave him much slack after that. And so I prayed and I prayed. Finally laid down. It's after 2 o'clock in the morning. And I laid down and I said, God, give me a dream or something to help me. Or I'm not going to go down there. I said, I'm already upset about this so bad after hearing what they've done to some good men, great men. My constitution isn't that strong. And I laid down and went to sleep. And as sure as I'm sitting here, I saw that woman and that man. And I didn't know that church had a back door on the right-hand side when you went in, but it did. And I saw them, and I was back there where they sat. And they just got up and slipped out.
Yeah.
They just walked out in a dream. And I turned around, and I looked at that pulpit. This pulpit. Not this one, but that pulpit. And it had a golden shine to it. And the altars looked golden. I couldn't see the congregation out there, but I knew it was time for me to get ready to preach. And in my dream, I said to no one in particular, but this has happened to me. It don't happen every other week. It's sometimes years before it happened. But in my dream, I said, what does this mean? And the voice spoke out of heaven and said, son, or out of my imagination, wherever, and said, you are going to stand in the pulpit of a praying man. And I knew he'd fasted for days on end. And I knew he'd prayed. And God let me know that that man and that woman was my worry. My job was to minister to those people out there that were starving. And I went down there and I ministered. And he did. He tried to tear down everything that did. But I'd done just what God wanted me to do. Before it was over, that woman was no problem. But the man continued to be a little trouble. But even God showed me something there. Amen. Even though that man had fallen, he evidently had repented, Brother Gallagher. We'll just take it that he did. We had repented. And God had remembered his prayers. God had remembered his hours of fasting and days of fasting. He was kind of a rough man and a hard man. He'd ride over you roughshod. But God took him just where he got him, right there, with all the scars on him, took him and called him to minister the gospel. And God had honored that man's life. And he showed me to approach that minister's pulpit with reverence. Even though he may have fallen, he was still remembered of God. You remember what the Bible said in Romans 14th chapter? And I've got 2 minutes. 14th chapter, the Bible said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant, his own master? He standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall behold it up, for God is able to make him stand.
Yeah.
God is able. Nobody else could reinstate him, but God could. As far as I know, he died a saved man. As far as I know, he never made that mistake again. But you know how we are? We just kind of write them off once they do it, and that's it. I want to tell you something else. I had a dream before I came down here. I had a dream just before, after I got down here. And I'm not so sure, Brother Gallagher, but what that man's wife, your wife, wrote to might be what this is involved about. I don't know. I'd have to talk to you. But anyway, I dreamed about a man that had gone liberal, one of our great preachers. Charismatic, I suppose, they tell me. I don't know. And I saw that man. And God put a love in my heart for him. And I woke up and I questioned why I could love that man so. I questioned that. And then just night before last, I had another dream. I think it's back to back. I'm not sure. And I saw something else. That man's got a boy. He's got more than one boy, but he's got a boy. And I saw that boy coming up a hill on a slippery clay road.
All right.
He is driving an old tractor and had a wagon loaded down with logs. And I said, that's more of a load than he can pull. And I looked around. And I said, ain't nobody else can help him but me. I'm the only one that's got the vehicle to do it. And when my dream ended, I was backing up trying to hook on. Everything was falling apart, it looked like, but I was trying to get a hold of that boy, pull him up the hill. And I'll give that some thought. And I don't know if I can help that boy or not, but I can't help him hating his daddy. You hear me?
Amen.
The importance of the preaching the gospel. It may be that that daddy will never turn. But that boy may be thinking about them holiness meetings when he was a little bitty fellow. He may be stirred. And if he sees a hardness and bitterness among the holiness people, you don't have to be unkind to people just to stand for what's right. You don't have to use them to stand for what's right. You still be nice to them. Amen. And I've thought about that. God, if it ever comes my opportunity, help me be in such a frame of mind, Brother W.H., that I can help that boy. If I never help that daddy, help me to help that boy. Evidently, you've got your hand laid on him to preach the gospel. And it's important that his ministry be filled.
Sorry.